When the TV is on all day without rest, Mama knows it's too much and Mama knows best.
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I have a very special guest here today. Say hello.
Hello.
And who are you?
I'm Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for welcoming me into Bear County.
Country.
Oh, it's close enough. They're so, both lands.
Andrew, tell us where we know you from.
You might have listened to me before on other podcasts, such as Talking About Turtle, your one-stop shop for entourage slop. It's not much of a crossover show with Deep in Bear Country. It's more for the adults.
More for the adults.
Yes.
And I have been on a couple of your shows before, so that's not how I know you, but it's how we've worked together in the past.
Our professional relationship is very strong.
Yeah. Yeah. We go way back.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of going way back, let's go way back to our childhoods. So you have read the Berenstain Bears before when you were a kid?
Oh, yes. I've read quite a few. I'm not an expert, as some would say, but like you. But I have quite enjoyed them.
Yeah. And you'd read this one before?
I have definitely read this one before.
Oh, and for the people at home who don't know, the title of the book we're discussing today is The Berenstain Bears and...
Too Much TV.
Too Much TV from 1984. Too Much TV. We're actually discussing modern technology in this episode.
I had to really look up the date when I was reading this. I'm like, when was this published? Because there was a couple timely references that didn't seem so timely in 1984.
Yeah, it's part of Bear Country's weird timeline. We don't really know when it's set.
Because they're talking about switching from a black and white TV to a color TV.
Yeah.
Was that a big thing in 1984?
Well, for my memory, because in 1984 I was 8, and yeah, there was this whole, like, not everyone had, like, the big color TV sets, like, in the early 80s. Like, I knew a lot of people who still had black and white TVs as their primary, like, family television set. I see around this time, like, people were kind of all moving into, like, pretty much everyone had color by this point. But, like, my sister had a black and white TV that was in her bedroom. So,
all right. I'll give them that point.
So, yeah. But it is, like, it is very much of its era. Like, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense to some kids.
Like, what do you mean? Who's the Three Stooges?
You mean the Bear Stooges?
Oh, sorry, the Bear Stooges.
The Bear Stooges. And who's the other guy? They're watching the Bear Stooges and they're watching the Nutty Bear Show.
I don't know what the analog for that would be.
No, neither do I. I can't figure it out at all. Like Bozo the Clown, maybe?
I guess. Or what was that Howdy Doody show? Maybe it's an analog for that.
I don't know, because all we see is a bear holding his pants up with like a floppy hat over his eye.
Maybe that was the height of comedy in the 1940s.
I guess. So let's talk about this story. What happens in it?
Well, Mama's getting upset because, you know, the cubs are coming home and they get snacks from her and they rush right to the TV and they don't bother saying hello.
Yeah.
And now Papa Bear's getting into it where he's just watching TV constantly. Mama Bear's like, come on, guys, we're a family. We used to have fun together and now you guys are just running amok in the house and just watching TV.
So what?
That's not cool.
What does she do?
Oh, she sets the foot down and says no TV for 1 week.
For just the cubs or for?
Oh, for everybody. Papa Bear gets it.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he was like in on this.
It was very funny where he's just like going like, okay, you kids can't watch TV, but you know what? I got some games to watch. I'll see you guys later.
But nope, Mama puts her foot down and Papa is not pleased.
Papa's never pleased.
And his big question is, how is he going to watch the news?
That two-page panel is what has been most burned in my mind when I think of the Berenstain Bears.
How come?
I don't know why. I think it's just because he does raise some good points here, where he goes, okay, two things first, Mama Bear. One, the news. How are we going to know what's going on in the world? Two, the weather. How are we going to know what's going to happen to the weather?
And what's
her advice? Her advice is, okay, pick up a newspaper once in a while, Jack.
She doesn't say it quite like that, but yeah.
It's just a tone. She, like, they have, like, this little, the face they give Mama Bear is just, like, kind of this smug kind of look. Like, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Read a newspaper. They got more information there for you.
Yeah, she has kind of the half-closed eyes, like.
The DreamWorks smirk almost.
Yeah. And then he's like, how am I going to know what the weather's going to be like?
Stick your hand outside and figure it out.
Yeah. Which doesn't help if you're like, if you need to know what the weather's going to be like that day.
Because let's say they live in the Midwest. Have you discovered where Bear Country is, like, geography-wise?
Well, we know it's near a beach, and we know it's near a desert and mountains and woods and a swamp.
Okay, so I could fathom a guess that it might be in Tornado Alley.
Right.
So they might need, like, a 15-minute warning on the TV to go, hey, get out of here. There's a tornado.
But in 1984, did they have that?
Oh, that's a good point.
This is the world Orwell warned us about.
Well, like, probably 94 or 95 when I read this. That's what came to my mind. Like, how are they going to know when a tornado strikes? Because that was my greatest fear when I was a kid. Like, a tornado could hit us at any second.
Well, this was 10 years before that. So I don't even, no, we had disaster warnings. We had the, like, emergency broadcast system. So without having their TV on, the bears would have been totally helpless.
Yeah. So, Mama Bear, you're seeding the destruction for your family.
Right. With a smug look on her face.
Well, in the second panel, she's just like, hey, just put your hand outside. It's not, like, as smug as the newspaper one.
Yeah, but then she's sitting in her chair, and she's looking like queen of the world.
Oh, you are right. And Papa Bear just like, oh, I just got burnt.
Yeah, that's dismay. That is what dismay looks like. So, the reason I asked you to do this book with me was because you know a lot about TV.
Too much, I might say.
And you've watched a lot of TV. I was thinking, like, anyone who has a podcast about Entourage has probably watched a lot of TV.
Anyone who's watched the entire series of Entourage, let alone one season, has watched too much TV.
Because my theory was that, like, if you only watched one TV show in your, like, in your life, you probably wouldn't do Entourage. Like, you probably do Entourage only if you've got, like, 9 shows, like, running concurrently. And you're like, I can fit an Entourage into one of these slots.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I have to, like, pick schedules. Like, okay, I'll watch TV on this day. We got this going. All right, load the Netflix. Here we go.
Yep. So, as a kid, did you ever have the whole, like, no TV for a week thing?
Not really. I was always a good kid. I never got into trouble. I had TV a lot as a reward, so... That's pretty awesome for me.
Yeah, I watched so much TV.
It was probably a bad idea on my parents. I did to just give me that much rain over the TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I got my own TV, like, in, I think, junior high or, like, maybe end of elementary school. And I would stay up. I'd watch Carson. I'd watch Letterman. I'd watch, like, the late night news. They showed Bullwinkle at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, that was always odd to me. They would show, like, Speed Racer.
Yep.
Winkle at, like, midnight. I'm like, all right, TV, thank you.
I would watch NBC until it went off the air, and then I'd go to sleep and then wake up for school. Now, when I was a kid, television went off the air, like, it did, you know, went off the air at, like, 1 in the morning, but...
Oh, okay, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Usually it goes off at, like, 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. now, right?
Does it? I have no idea.
I don't think they do anymore. I think it's now this paid programming.
Yeah. Like, they have something that just slots in. Like, some former TV star will be selling you something.
Yeah, it's got to be weird when you think about it, because TV never goes off the air anymore. It's always running.
Yep.
That's just kind of a scary thought.
I think it's amazing. And, like, I mean, to me, like, to have had too much television when there are only 3 networks and, like, PBS available, like, you really had to be committed.
It takes a lot more commitment than me, because I had a full range of channels to go through.
Yeah.
I had a Cartoon Network, which was, like, a godsend.
See, I had, like, growing up, I had 3 networks and PBS and then a couple of local stations. And, man, I would wake up on Saturday mornings. I would wake up at 5:45 in the morning, and I would turn on the Farm Report. And then, because I knew that at 6, it was Alvin and the Chipmunks. But I had to wake up early because I had to give my eyes time to adjust, because they'd be like all watery from sleep. So I learned, like, 15 minutes, and then I could see the TV show clearly.
So that's such a useless skill to learn.
It is. I once went downstairs and it was still dark, and I would go downstairs and pour myself a bowl of cereal. And I once stepped in dog vomit that was on the rug. And I was really young, and so I positioned myself behind the sofa to watch TV so I wouldn't have to look at the dog vomit. But I wasn't not going to watch the TV.
That's genius.
Yeah, that's how committed I was.
I had a few cats when growing up, and cat vomit was almost a regular occurrence, and it's so gross.
Yeah.
I have stepped in way too much cat vomit for a normal person to be stepping in.
So what's more important, though? Like, cat, like, I guess now, like, well, if you stepped in cat vomit but your show was on, would you do anything about the cat vomit?
I would have to clean up immediately. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I get OCD about anything on the floor, or like if there's bugs in the house, I'm like, I have to get rid of this now.
But you don't really have to worry. Like, these days, like, there's no, like, television is always going to be there.
There's no, there's always a stop button. That's true.
Yeah. Like, back in the day, like, when I was a kid, like, you just, if you missed
it, you had
to
watch it. Exactly.
Except for me, like, when we got a VCR, I would set it up to record one network while I watched another network. And then when Saturday morning cartoons were over, I'd watch all the cartoons I'd recorded. So I could be watching, like, the Teen Wolf cartoon while I was, like, recording Galaxy High School. And then I just watched Galaxy High School.
That's such a great idea.
I watched a lot of garbage.
I watched only great kids shows. Have you heard about a little thing called Ah, Real Monsters?
I was just going to say, was it Ah, Real Monsters?
I tried watching that show again. When I was an adult, no, very, very disappointed. Because I, for years, I'm like, I backed that show up. I'm like, you know what's a great show? Ah, Real Monsters.
No. And that's, it's really good.
Yeah, it made me feel like a clown. I'm like, oh, this is how you treat me, huh?
That's how I felt about when I tried to go back and watch Eek the Cat. I was like, no. It totally holds up. It's like an adult cartoon. And then I was like, oh man, it's like maybe a step above Life with Louie. Like, as far as, like,
as
writing and humor level goes, like, oh, yeah, it was really shooting low, wasn't it?
Life of Louie is so depressing to watch.
It's terrible. It's a terrible show.
Louie, clean up the garbage.
Well, there was this weird period of time where, like, comedians were all getting their own Saturday morning shows. You had Roseanne Barr, and you had Rick Moranis, and you had, like,
Paula Poundstone.
Did she have her own show?
Yeah, it's called Pound It Out with Paula.
No, you should call it like the dog pound or like the pound. The pound with Paula.
Oh, and she's like a dog.
Yeah.
A dog with shoulder pads.
A dog with cats, because she talked about her cats a lot. Yeah, she did a whole routine about her cats watching her while she showered.
Oh.
Don't say anything.
When I showered, there was like a glass like protecting us between me and the cats.
Yeah.
And the cats would just pound on the glass.
What did
they, meowing,
pause like this?
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah,
what is their problem?
They really want in, but they don't want to get wet.
Yeah, because you open the door and then they immediately back away as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're worried for you. Paula Poundstone talked about that. She said that her cats would look at her like, what's wrong with you, what are you doing?
Oh, that's a good bit.
It's a good bit. I don't do it justice. When I do it, I don't do it justice.
Well, Paula Poundstone, you know what, killing it.
Yep. She still is.
Yeah, shush, shush, don't tell me. Plug for that one.
Shush, shush, don't tell me. John Candy had a cartoon as well, Camp Candy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Camp. How long did that last?
Long enough that I remember it.
Oh, I'm trying to think of other shows that were just like, you probably don't know this one, But Ugly Martians.
I don't remember But Ugly Martians. A lot after my time.
This was really way after. This is like when you're probably in college. So what do you think the Bears are watching besides the Nutty Bear Show and...
The Bear Stooges?
Yeah, the Bear Stooges.
Well, the news, obviously.
The Weather Channel, and I'm seeing them out of the Weather Channel.
Yeah, weather news and, like, comedies from the 1930s.
It sounds like they're, like, on Woody Allen's TV.
Right, or, like, Robert Crumb's house. You're really going to watch these cartoons from the 1930s. After 1930, cartoons really went downhill.
That's Robert Godfrey's channel.
I'm a terrible Robert Crumb impression, by the way.
I could do a good Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, yeah? What does he watch?
I'm watching the Three Stooges of Gilbert Gottfried Affleck.
It was like he was here.
Oh, and he just left the room like an angel.
I don't think he ever did a voice on the Berenstain Bear cartoon, though.
That was a good show.
It was a good show. Michael Cera.
Good adaptation.
Michael Cera got his start as the voice of Brother Bear.
Oh, that demands a rewatch from me.
Yep. It's going to hold up. I bet it holds up.
It really, because the book, it does hold up. It's very good, very warm. you get like a really good sense of nostalgia with it.
Yeah.
That's what I like about the Berenstain Bears. There's always like a nice big hug you get from the book.
It is a nice big hug. Now, in this book, they because they stop watching TV, they get to go to the mall.
That was an odd, like they had like so many wholesome activities like outside. And maybe the offer, like Dan and Stan were like going like, you know, we're just making it seem like, you know, it's like if you go outside, you have a nice fulfilling life, but you know, people like to do other stuff. They like to go and shop. So maybe that was what they were trying to intend there. And I think that works.
Right. It says also that they go on and they look at the stars and it says, the sky was full of stars. It was a sharper picture too. And a much, much bigger screen. But nowadays, you could get about that sharp a picture.
4K, probably better in real life.
Yeah.
Well, I think also the problem with this, the nice starry night sky, not a lot of people are going to be able to get that. You have to be living in a very, very specific part of the country
like maybe
to get that kind of visage.
Maybe in a place where there's literally no other buildings around.
No other buildings, no other lights for miles.
Well, they don't just go out and look at the stars either. They watch the stars come out. Like, they're there for a long time.
I guess they're there from sunset.
Just getting bit by mosquitoes.
This doesn't sound funny, or it sounds miserable.
Yeah, I know. Because they're watching bats, too. So you know there's mosquitoes out there.
That's scary.
Yeah.
They're very calm about the bats. Like, oh, cool, bats.
Oh, I do want to point out that the reason they wanted to watch TV that night was because there was a special on TV. And it says, she says, yeah, there's a TV special. Oh, look, a special. And, that's something that doesn't really happen a lot these days. Like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is coming on tonight. Like, that's the one time a year it comes on. Or like, it's the Alf Christmas special. Well, you better watch the Alf Christmas special tonight because you're not going to get to see that.
It'll be gone forever.
Yep. So the concept of like a special isn't a thing that kids see on TV anymore.
It is kind of weird how TV just kind of, because everything is pretty much here forever at this point.
Yeah.
It's stored no matter what.
Right. I remember when DVDs first started coming out with like whole seasons available. Like they first started like, hey, you can buy a whole season of a show on DVD. And I thought like, that's amazing. I think that's so smart because now you don't have to like wait for it to come on anymore.
And exactly.
Little did I know that was going to like change the way ultimately TV was produced and enjoyed.
Binge watching has pretty much changed the game forever.
Oh yeah. Like shows are made to be watched that way.
And it's crazy just to think, like, maybe 12 years ago, DVDs were starting to get, like, big in TV shows. And now, just like a few years ago, we got the concept of binge watching on Instant Watch.
Right.
It's just unbelievable how far we come.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. People are able to watch better quality television at this point now. I mean, you're also having the part where people have to watch something straight through for, like, 3 days in a row just to watch a whole thing, which is not a great thing either because I had to watch Daredevil in like 3 days and like at episode 6, episode 5, and I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I feel sick.
Why'd you have to watch it?
I did not want to get spoiled. That was one thing I was so excited for. And if I got spoiled, I would be so angry.
So you made yourself not enjoy the viewing experience?
Like, you have a child, correct?
I have two.
Oh, two children. Very interesting.
How did
they consume media at this point?
Well, that's interesting because one of them's 14 and one of them is 4. So the 14-year-old grew up watching TV and some DVDs and some VHS tapes, but nothing on demand. Like you either owned it on DVD or you just watched what was on television.
Right.
But the 4-year-old only knows on demand, like only knows Netflix. Only knows YouTube.
How do you think that affects her, though?
I think it just means that to her, entertainment is something that you can just order up, as opposed to you're not at the whim of anyone. You're not at the whim of a programmer.
Yeah, a television provider.
Yeah, it's just, what do you want? There it is. You push the button and there it is. And she doesn't get to watch a lot because I'm more of a mama bear. Actually, I should say her mom is more of a mama bear. If it were up to me, she'd just be sitting in front of it all day. But, her mom's
gotta get this podcast done.
So at the mall, the Brother Bear buys a what do they call it? A puzzle cube?
A cube puzzle.
A cube puzzle. Sister used some of her savings to buy a knitting spool and some yarn. Brother bought a cube puzzle.
Was this before they named Rubik's Cubes?
No, it was definitely called Rubik's Cube at that point. I guess maybe they just didn't want to throw out a brand.
I guess they didn't want to date it, maybe.
Or, like, he didn't have enough money to buy the official one, so he bought, like, the generic, like, dollar store knockoff.
But then who calls it a cube puzzle still?
No, no one. Everyone just calls it a Rubik's Cube. I guess that they wanted to keep it generic, but no one says cube puzzle. Or I would say call it a puzzle cube. Like, that's even at least rolls off
makes
the tongue better.
It rolls the tongue because a cube puzzle makes you have to work for it.
Right, right.
Because you get that CU and you're like cube.
Cube puzzle.
It's two CU. It's CU followed by PU. No, thank you.
This CU is followed by PU, and that means it stinks. It's Brother Bear's review of his cube puzzle.
Give me a Rubik's Cube next time, Mama Bear.
And then Papa Bear starts jonesing.
He starts doing a real cool walk.
Where?
Oh, he's walking into the TV store.
He couldn't be more suspicious. They couldn't draw him acting more suspicious.
And if you could see the sweat just furring down his brow as he walks into that store.
Ducks into a Radio Shack and plants himself in front of, looks like Price is Right. And then they catch Papa downstairs trying to sneak a movie. Like, he's totally not on board with this.
Yeah. I don't like the late movie term. That's a weird term.
Like, what's the late movie?
That's something that no one should be watching down there. The Cubs should not be seeing this.
Yeah, all bets are off.
Yeah. When Papa Bear goes downstairs for the late movie, just let him watch it. You know, there's things you don't need to see in his life. I really enjoy the faces on these two pages when they're catching him in both of them, where both Brother and Sister Bear are giving him like some mean looks.
Oh, yeah. Brother's giving him the stink eye.
Oh, they're both giving the stink eye.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
Because they've been so good.
They are wonderful children.
They are wonderful children. Papa's they're a horrible best. Man.
Papa is a monster.
And then their experiment comes to an end. Mama declares her love of television. And she says that it's the habit of watching TV that she dislikes. And that the week is out. And they get to watch TV all day tomorrow.
It's sort of like the Stanford Prison Experiment where, you know, everything turns out all right in the end.
Everything does. Is that the lesson we learned from the Stanford Prison Experiment?
Yeah.
Everything turns out all right in the end.
If you just let everything go the way it's going, yay, you're doing all right.
But switcheroo at the end, they don't want to watch TV anymore.
Brother Bear is playing with his cube puzzle. Sister Bear is playing for yarn and stitching. What is this?
She's knitting a rug.
Oh, it's complicated.
Yeah.
That's really hard. She's smart.
She's making herself useful to the family.
And Papa Bear is watching television, but you know what? It looks really nice to stay outside to fish.
It does. He's dreaming about fishing. He wants to go back out. And Mama's looking smug.
That's right.
Like, her whole plan worked out.
She's rubbing her fingers together like, yes, yes.
Now, I'm going to say this book marks the beginning of, in my opinion, I think from looking back on the books I've covered, this is the first real smug Mama book. Like, this is the first book where she just, like, is like, nope, I know better than everyone else. I'm going to make up rules without consulting my husband. I'm going to hold him to the same rules I made up for the children. And I'm going to have this look on my face the entire time. It's going to drive readers nuts.
I do remember a few books like that.
Yeah, she pulls that a lot in the next few, like next in the coming series.
That's disappointing.
She does. She starts building up sort of a rep as the kind of the know-it-all.
It's sort of becoming more like a sitcom in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you have the dumb husband and, you know, the wife who always nags.
Yeah. She used to be, he's always been kind of a dope, and she's always been kind of, like, smarter than him. But this is kind of marks the turning point where she becomes, like, just kind of smug, just smug about it. Like,
Flanderization, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, a little Flanderization. For those at home who aren't in on all the TV lingo, Flanderization is when you take characteristics of a popular character and exaggerate them, As the series goes on,
to the point where they no longer resemble the character they used to be.
Right. So Flanders used to be just sort of like the perfect neighbor, with a little bit of religion, and then he became the...
I guess an evangelist, basically.
Yeah, the religious nut job next door. So Mama started out as just like the intelligent parent, and then she became like the hyper-moralistic scold.
That's not fun for anybody.
No, it's not. No one wants their bears to be a scold.
No, I want my mama bear to be fun, but still have a clear head.
It's important in a mama bear.
Yeah.
Overall impression of this book?
Oh, it was very fun. I really enjoyed it. It took me back to when I was a kid. The illustrations are very nice and beautiful. Like the one where they're just watching the stars is very breathtaking.
Yeah.
Very nice use of colors there. Nice use of negative space with the stars.
They do. They devote like two full pages to the night sky.
And they really want you to make you like, okay, here's how beautiful nature is. Two page spread, just nature in its essence.
Yeah, it's a nice looking book. And like, yeah, Mama's a little bit of a know-it-all, but she's not over, like, it's not eye-rolling. Like,
no, but she also has a good moral at the end where she goes, I don't hate TV. I just don't want you guys to be sitting in front of it all the time.
Right.
Like, watch a little, in moderation is what you guys need to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't be addicted to it.
And she's not going like, you know, the only people who have fun are go outside and that's it. She also takes him to the store. Very important.
Yep. Yep.
She's a very capitalist mom.
Mm-hmm. She supports Bear Country. She supports the local economy.
She supports the job creators.
Puzzle makers.
Cube puzzles.
Cube puzzle makers. And I think it's a decent lesson. I think taking, you know, I think breaking a habit sometimes involves like taking something out of your life for a while so you get used to life without it.
And then when you try to get back into it, you're like, oh, I really didn't need this to begin with.
Right, right. Like, it wasn't, like, as vital to my life as I thought it was. It's like people who do that with Facebook.
Oh, Facebook is essential to my life. I can't get rid of that.
I don't know. I don't think I could.
No. That's okay. I don't need a week without Facebook.
Yeah. That would be terrible. I don't even know what I'd do.
Yeah. That's not a good suggestion. Throw that in the garbage. The Mercy Bears go on Facebook.
I know that, like, in the future books, they try to show Brother with his technology, and it gets a little hilarious at times. Like, they try really hard to stay hip to what the kids are into.
Here's Brother Bear on his Palm Pilot. Here's Sister Bear on her BlackBerry.
Playing with their Tamagotchis.
Pocket monsters.
There is a book coming up that's very much about collecting He-Man figures.
They collect He-Man figures?
It's not He-Man. It's called Space Grizzlies, but it's He-Man.
That's really weird and specific.
Like, you can tell, like, it's based on the He-Man line.
Well, are they kind to He-Man?
He's not a real person.
Well, I mean, they don't go and insult, like, listen, collect all the figures you want, but don't collect He-Man. Just throw that in the trash.
No.
Collect the Berenstain Bears action figures instead.
Brother's obsessed. I'm not going to get too much into it, but Brother is obsessed with collecting these action figures. Then the movie comes out, and he's really obsessed with going to see the movie.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
I know. I can't wait. And then, like, later on, I just read one to my 4-year-old, which is instead of Beanie Babies, they're collecting like Barbie Babies or something, and it's basically about the Beanie Baby fad. And I can't wait to do that one. It's amazing.
I was a little bit in the Beanie Baby fad.
Did you think it was going to pay your way through college?
Oh, yeah. I have a warehouse full of them.
I had friends. Yeah. I worked with a couple who were putting all their money into Beanie Babies. Like, they hundreds. And they were, like, planning a family. And they were like, this is going to be our meal ticket. Like, this is going to be it. And they were so excited. They had so many Beanie Babies.
That makes me so sad.
I know. They should have read the book.
They told me they got out before the bottom dropped.
I hope so. I don't know. I lost contact with them. I worked with them. But yeah, they should have read like the Berenstain Bears and like the stupid fad or whatever it was called.
The Berenstain Bears and the financial crisis.
It's not for better or for worse. You know, they don't fill it with like that much pathos.
The one thing that fills me with pathos every day when I read the comics is Mary Worth. Oh, she knows what's up.
Her last name describes it all.
Worth. An apartment. Apartment 8B. Oh, man.
3G. Oh. It's apartment 3G.
I'm sorry. How could I forget?
Three young women living together in the city.
There's a lot of weird comics that still hang around the Sunday pages. Mm-hmm.
Rex Morgan, MD.
Why are they still around? Do people read them?
They're called legacy comics. And anytime they try to cancel them, there's a huge outcry from the only people who read the newspaper. And those are the people who grew up with, like, the Yellow Kid and the Cats and Jammer Kids and Snuffy Smith, and they still want that in their newspaper.
And they won't raise a finger if Calvin and Hobbes get canceled.
Nope. They didn't.
They'll be like, that doesn't make sense to me. Where's Department 3G?
Yep. I want to know what happens to them pretty ladies. What's this? Rose is Rose. I don't know what this is. Where's my Marmaduke?
There was there's Kathy. Good old Kathy. Always good for a laugh. Ugh, indeed.
Where's Mallard Fillmore? I need to know what's going on in the news.
Mallard Fillmore says what I'm thinking. Oh, Doonesbury. Too many words.
Put that Doonesbury back in the liberal section of the paper where it belongs.
And we zoom out, and it's Jim Belushi.
And you zoom out even further, and it's Papa Bear watching a Jim Belushi movie on his 12-inch color television.
And then he says, I don't need to watch this. I can just fish. And that movie was Canine.
As featured in the Berenstain Bears in Breakin' Training. And that's it. I think that's all we have time for today.
And we zoom out. Fitting down his headphones, get up to see Mitzi, and then he puts on Canine by Jim Belushi.
I can't wait.
A slow smile goes across his little face as Jim Belushi reads the newspaper.
Mitzi, turn off that strawberry shortcake, put on this raspberry beefcake named Jim Belushi.
And we zoom out to see Earth smile as everyone is happy.
And a big old wink. And the end comes up.
Question mark.
Roll credits. Andrew, thank you for joining me on Deep in Bear Country today.
Thank you for having me.
Anything you'd like to plug?
If you guys enjoyed my appearance on here and you are past the age limit to listen to Talking About Turtle, your one-stop shop for Entourage shop, please be my guest. It's not a podcast about Entourage anymore. It's basically a drama play, a radio play about two nutcases trying to run a podcast and running afoul of everything.
I've been on two episodes.
Both drastically different from each other.
If you like Deep in Bear Country, you can find us on Facebook at Deep in Bear Country. You can find us on Twitter at BeastainBearCast. You can find us on Tumblr. We're there sometimes. And you can also write me at BerenstainBearCast@gmail.com or go to iTunes and rate this show, please. I would love to hear some ratings from people. All right. Well, I'll be back next time with another book. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me once again.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see everyone next time.
Deep
in Bear Country.
Exclamation point.
The end.
Question mark. That was so much effort on my part to not curse. It was ridiculous. That's so sad.
It's good exercise. It's like not having TV for a week.
The week Andrew decided not to curse.
The week you decided not to curse. And you came back the next week, you didn't even want to curse.
No, that's not happening. Oh. Edit that out. I was doing so good.
You're doing great.
God, I was this close. I almost made it. I almost made a whole episode about cursing.
Right in the middle of your Paula Poundstone joke.
I'm sorry, Paula Poundstone. He's doing a straight up cool. I censored myself like two times there. I'm like, okay, I'm about to say fuck. No, that's not cool. So I'm like, cool, and I didn't have anything to follow. It's like, cool, ass walk.
Ugh. How'd you feel about that?
Hot fire. Oh, my tongue is burning because that was fucking hot.
That's going to be one of our outtakes.
Yeah.